You are listening to WMFO in Medford, Tufts Reform Radio, here at 91.5 FM, and streaming at WMFO.org. That was the Dead Kennedys with their cover Viva Las Vegas, a classic.
Tight.
In studio, well, okay, whoa, step back. This is the show Program Without Form. My name is Jason, and tonight I have a guest. Not that acoustic guitar. That is not the guest.
That would be a better guest, probably.
No, no way. Who are you?
My name's Emma Furman. Uh-huh. I am not an acoustic guitar, but maybe one day.
I hope you can achieve that one day if you want to.
Thank you.
So Emma's on the show just for fun, huh?
This is what you call fun? No, it's going to be really fun. I'm excited. Going to read some poems.
Good.
Going to have some chatty time.
I asked you to basically just bring something, I think.
Yeah. So, and that I did.
I'm glad you brought some things because I didn't bring that much.
Great.
So it's going to be a good long 2 hours.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Here on WMFO in Medford. This show's on from 8 to 10. We'd be happy to have you all 2 hours, plus all night here on WMFO. Great time here at Tufts. Do you want to start with some poetry? Do you want to play a song just so you can settle in more?
No, let's start with the poem. All right.
Great.
I'm going to read a bunch of different things. Some of them are going to be by me. Some of them not by me. This first poem is by Karen Volkman. It's from a book called Nomina. And it's just a poem that I like. It doesn't have a title. So good luck finding it. Here it is. Never got and never thought and yet. Always potent in the never been. The ever urge to always arc, to spin, aims in junction in a raw roulette, ever placing never's bankrupt bet, carbon numbers impossible to win, at null, at zero, an integral skin, cardinal animal in an ordinal net. What fury frauds the nod, what squalid set, base ire, base air, base boss, the baseless bane of never's radical, the swelling square of pallid possibilities that slip and stare. Unsummed digits, unformulated stain, ever's ardor will never not beget.
Yeah. That was good.
Thanks.
Wait, you didn't write that?
She didn't write it, folks.
Oh, you wrote it.
No.
Oh.
It's by Karen Volkman. She's really rad.
Contemporary? Living?
I hope so. Okay. I think so.
We'll check that later. Woo. Tough subject. All right.
Really tough.
Do you want to do another or you want to take a break?
Let's do a song and then we'll...
Okay. All right. I got one lined up, fortunately. One
Great.
Thing I did prepare. This one song.
Body wearing really Yeah.
You are listening to WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, here at 91.5 FM and streaming at WMFO.org. The previous song you heard was Betty Wang by Hospitality off their self-titled album. And playing behind us right now is Lucy Dacus with her song Map on a Wall from the album that was just released last month, No Burden.
She's awesome. I just saw her live.
So you were in Georgia?
I was in Savannah, Georgia, mm-hmm. at a music festival called Savannah Stopover. Mm-hmm. It was very radical. Mm-hmm. I saw Lucy Dacus. I saw Porches.
Oh, they played?
They played. That was great. I saw Ra Ra Riot.
Cool.
Lots of good bands.
Good. We should note Lucy Dacus is from Richmond.
Yeah.
Just clear the air there.
She also reps Richmond really hard. Like she talked about it on stage, which was lovely, actually.
Yeah. Have you been there?
No.
Been there a couple times. It's very nice.
She seems nice. good people from good places.
Yeah. Yeah. Richmond filled with nice people.
Is that their slogan?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'm on board.
Okay.
Oh.
We don't have to keep talking.
Let's listen to the rest of the song.
Great.
So far.
does no good hanging on a wall. If you want to see the world, you have to say goodbye. 'Cause a map does no good hanging on a wall.
There is a need in the house, so I step out. I won't describe the air. A man across the street calls beautiful, and I unzip my body and step out. Two deer trot the sidewalk. A sky is involved too. The gong rings and I step out. The house is filled by movie sounds and this cocky white light. Like a diver slips into the pool without disturbing it, a needle unthreaded, stabbed into the pillow, I exit the scene. Beautiful left hanging in the air, which I insist not to tell you about, I simply step away and out. The door is white, painted wood. The two deer might have been one. The gong unzips the act, and I'm completely out, in the middle of the pool, utterly unthreaded. The man stabs his way into the scene without disturbing it. I won't describe the dive to you. The deer exit. I step out behind them, filled by the pillow of air that is apart from the door, left hanging off the house of need that gongs beautiful, skin needling purposefully, and I'm across the street from myself and step further from the pool which I insist is not there.
You are listening to WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, here at 91.5 FM. My name's Jason. I'm here with guest Emma. She just read a poem. Emma, would you like to discuss the poem?
Yeah, it's kind of new. It's from last week.
Written by you.
Written by moi.
Last week sounds very new.
Oh. I guess that's pretty new.
Yeah.
If a baby was born last week, it would be very new. That's a good point.
Newborn, without a question.
For sure, newborn. Yeah. The poem is called Encounter, and it was sort of about the feeling of being a woman in the world and walking down the street and everyone's looking at you and sort of, you know, having little evaluations of you in your head because it's the culture we live in, I guess, and that feeling of like wanting to leave yourself behind because you're embarrassed to just exist in the world, which I'm sure is not unique to women, but there's something gendered about that.
Women live with that in American society.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what men live with, Jason. What do you think?
Some with some of that. Mm-hmm. I think everyone lives with some of that. Mm-hmm. But I would guess women suffer a lot more on the whole.
Thank you. Yeah. So that was the basic outline.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Some housekeeping. The song you heard behind that was This House by the Softies from their 1995 album It's Love. Before that, you heard Maximal Being by friends of the show Krill.
Yay.
Off of their debut album, Alum No Hris.
Wow.
Old
school.
Big ups to some of our Furman listeners. Thank you for listening, Furman listeners.
Yes, thank you. That's all really to say about that.
Okay.
I have some requests on tap from a Furman listener who's dear to my heart.
Okay.
Who is my mom.
Oh, right. Okay, good.
They're poetry requests. So great. Maybe let's play another song and okay, then we can do a request.
Yeah, you can file your papers correctly.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Ooh, did I prepare any songs? Oh, boy.
Good question.
Really good question. We'll do this one. All right.
Thank you.
alternating.
Yep.
Oh. This is called Black Maps by Mark Strand. Not the attendance of stones, nor the applauding wind, shall let you know you have arrived. Nor the sea that celebrates only departures, nor the mountains, nor the dying cities. Nothing will tell you where you are. Each moment is a place you've never been. You can walk believing you cast a light around you, but how will you know? The present is always dark. Its maps are black, rising from nothing, describing, in their slow ascent into themselves, their own voyage, its emptiness, the bleak temperate necessity of its completion. As they rise into being, they are like breath. And if they are studied at all, it is only to find, too late, what you thought were concerns of yours do not exist. Your house is not marked on any of them, nor are your friends waiting for you to appear, nor are your enemies listing your faults. Only you are there, saying hello to what you will be, and the black grass is holding up the black stars.
Thank you, Emma. What was the name of that poem?
That was called Black Maps, at my mother's request.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Mel.
Thank you, Mel, for the request. And thank you for listening. The song you heard before that poem was Sunday by Yuck from their self-titled album, released in 2011.
I also saw them at Savannah Stopover.
This weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they just released a new album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw them in a bar.
How was it?
You know, I have to say,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't that good.
Oh, really?
And I'm kind of a fan, sort of a fan of theirs, but
yeah.
I guess they were kind of jerky is the problem.
As people, they
yeah.
seem to be jerks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not surprised by that.
It's just a bummer.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it yeah. changed my perception of them a little bit, but it was cool to see them.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right. We're going to play another song. You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, 91.5 FM in the greater Boston area, and streaming at WMFO.org everywhere.
Boop.
That was The Walkmen with their song No Christmas While I'm Talking. Very stern song title. But
That always puzzled me.
I like that song title. I think about it outside of the context of the song every once in a while. I don't really know what it has to do with the song, but...
Same.
Good song.
It is. It is a good one.
That was from their album Bows and Arrows. And you can keep track of the songs we're playing, but not of the poems we're reading, at spinitron.com. Spinitron.com. If you could scroll down on the left panel to WMFO 91.5, you can look at our schedule and go through actually years of archives of what's been played.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Anyway, Emma, I hear you have another poem for us.
Yes, it's time for a poem.
Okay, take it away.
Okay. There's no title. Incredibly devastated. The soaring strings kicking in. Not doing much. Sitting at the window, just being in the downspout. Rut-rut rooting myself out. I can't complete. All ye lonely beasts, I write to know how it feels more deeply. This typical struggle with volume and productivity, I'm in the ceiling tiles. Dancing alone does not give you power. No one gives you power. Alone in the power. Next thing I know, I'm face down on the floor. Head is turned and turning. I can see myself there now. My large self. My life in a pile. The earth lodged itself into my eye, then came out from my mouth. The problem is to try and define a state of mind. What does it look like to everybody else? As long as you can get on with life, it's just qualified as a different perception. Is it really madness to have ended up in a house like this? I live on a piece of land, with wonderful silence in the background. I don't want to crow about it, the divine enthusiasm. Yes, mad for God. The problem with talking is that you get into this ineffable state. It's a psychological experience of night and day. We've so much deprived ourselves that we can barely recognize it. Sometimes I simply float over the tiles. We know too much now in a received way. How to guarantee an exceptional experience? There's a valve in the head that reduces experience away from the strange and incredible. Bad trips are the useful trips. What is the information of love? Beautiful little places that we set up. There are two or three profound experiences. My first memories are dreadful things. The bombs puttering overhead. Awful periods of waiting for the planes to fall. I would compress my little body until I popped out of it. Just the fact of feeling the body gave me a lifelong facility. Makes coming and going a little bit easier. I was told this by an ancient who cared for me. I write the books in order to understand the story, not to communicate it. The fear of being wrong. You cannot prove it. They want the evidence of angels, but you can't measure them.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Before we were talking off air about that poem, you were, I think, a little hesitant to read it because it's unedited.
Yes, it's true.
But, okay. I know incredibly little about poetry.
Same.
Okay. What does it mean to edit a poem?
Well, for me... I mean, I'm sure it's really different for everyone, but for me, how it usually works is there's like a block of text, sort of just like free form writing, and then I just like chip away at it and get down to like smaller phrases, more digestible pieces that mm-hmm. turn into the lines. But it always starts as like pure prose. So that poem is still in the prose
okay.
format.
So you... just sort of flow through a bunch of prose all at once?
Yeah, and then go back to it. I think it's like a retrospective state for me.
Okay. What do you end up picking out, do you think?
It has a lot to do with has it more to do with like the sound of things than the meaning of things? Mm-hmm. Meaning is generally like pretty secondary, and a lot of the stuff I write in general is like received language. So like a lot of that was like overheard, or I heard someone on TV saying it, or something like that.
Hmm. So are you just going for shorter when you edit?
Yeah, shorter and more compressed intensity. Like there are some repeated words and phrases in there that I probably would cut out in the end.
Yeah.
But I think it's more about getting like essentializing pieces of language than like getting to the heart of a piece of meaning or anything like that. Because it's like the relationship between No Christmas While I'm Talking and the song.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like a leap, but hopefully the reader is willing to do that with me.
Yeah. Some poems of yours, well, I've heard many poems of yours at this point.
Yes.
And one thing that definitely sticks with me is you seem to concentrate a lot of tangled sounding words in a very small space.
It's true, yeah.
It's not quite a tongue twister because it's not like it's necessarily difficult to pronounce, but it is a lot all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I like that sort of like onslaught. And some poets are really sparse and like sort of just go very slow, and I admire that aesthetic, but at the same time, I don't know, I think I don't, sometimes my problem is I don't let enough air into things.
Okay.
But yeah, interesting observation though.
Yeah,
I like that.
All right, we're gonna take a break with more music. All right.
Skipping the Reception by Dean Young. I don't really want to meet Burkhard, just because I like his books. He's probably disappointing in person. I know I am. In person, you have to commit to what comes thumping out of your mouth like popped ketchup. John suggests go bowling so as not to say anything. I know a woman who takes off her blouse. All good ideas. Even with old friends, you end up in used bookstores inspecting old typewriters sacrificed to decoration, making your way across the parking lot ice. We are not monkeys. Throw something down hard enough, you discover its laws. We are not brains in big Pyrex jars connected to the generators running everything, although we try to talk like it. The sound of the crash barely reaches us, so it sounds like someone else's problem. Precious moments of life ebbing away. What a pathetic thing to say. How did we get on this subject? Do you have a cat? Is this shirt ugly? What are those marks on your arm? I don't think my voice will ever emerge from the center of my chest. Here's your fire extinguisher. Welcome to the glacier.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Tufts Reform Radio. Emma, what was that poem?
It was by Dean Young called Skipping the Reception from a book called Elegy on Toy Piano. A lot of these books are from like between 2006 and 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not really up to date.
You're talking about the stack of books that you brought to the studio?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're all good books by good people.
Yeah.
So.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
The song you heard before that was Throw Aggie Off the Bridge by Black Tambourine. You also heard 7-4 Shoreline by Broken Social Scene from their self-titled album.
What year is that from?
2005 is what I'm showing here.
Wow, someone else needs to get
an update.
Let
me double check that. Okay. And
feeling jaunty.
Thanks for listening to WMFO in Medford. The Tufts University Art Gallery is dedicated to conceiving and presenting exhibits and educational programs that explore new global perspectives on art and art discourse. All exhibitions and related programming are free, open to the public, and fully accessible. The Tufts University Art Gallery is located in the Adickman Art Center at 40 Talbot Avenue on the Somerville-Medford campus of Tufts University. For current exhibitions and hours, just search the web for Tufts University Art Gallery, or you can also call 617-627-3518. This has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Thanks for listening, 91.5 FM and WMFO.org. Also, I'll plug the WMFO app. You can download it in the Apple App Store or in the Google Play Zone.
Is it called a zone?
I don't know. I've never been there.
We really need to get with it.
My phone was bought in 2012, and it was retro back then.
You've got a lot of cred. If there were other people in the studio, they would be admiring you.
I still use an iPod on a nearly daily basis. It was purchased in December 2007.
Dang. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's still got a battery life, too.
I would hope so if you're using it daily. Jeez.
No, just I just leave it plugged in.
Listening to a dead iPod. Sounds fun.
Yeah. No, it's fun. It's a good tool. What are we going to do now? Do you want to read another poem or should I play another song? Or do you want to play a song? Or should I read a poem?
I'm gonna read a poem, a short one.
Okay, great.
And then we'll play maybe some Bill Callahan.
Okay, yep, I can do that.
Great. Okay, so this is like, I've never like lived in New York City, but like apparently people are on roofs a lot there in the summers. So like I just like sort of imagined my way into that scenario, and I have been on a roof in New York City in the summer, so I sort of know a little bit about it. But I figure that every poet has to have like a New York City poem, even if you don't live there or like really care about it. But so here's mine. Okay. The moon belongs to everyone. Have a seat. Make yourself comfortable in her gaze. Your drunk friends are going inside, but the little lights aren't yet blown out, and the trumpets are wafting from the cemetery lusciously. Don't worry. Your hairbrush is safe and asleep in her drawer, and the moon is really paying attention to you. In the tiny chair high above the street, people across the country do consider you. Some like you. A few even love you. Yes, you will write that letter. You will wash the piles of clothes on the floor. The moon knows this, in her benevolent shining, that you are doing the best you can, one foot dangling off the brick edge, and the infinity of apartment lights stretching out like a buffet of human warmth, all buzzing and stuffed, ripe, 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 for Walt's old missive and your new adulation. And now you know that loving doesn't mean giving anything up. Rather, it's growing, rising like yeast overnight, high on your own inner bubbly chemical swell, and joyful above floating the moon, face and all, belling out her silence, calling in the old-fashioned way, ringing, ringing with no response, but still talking to no one for the love of the word, that word rubbing itself against the dark, a real hootenanny of speech, hammering out into velvet, the hard roof edge, and if you fall, you are falling into everyone, and it belongs to you.
Was there a title to that poem?
I think I was calling it High on Coffee for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the closest thing.
All right.